they have this little conflict, this push-pull about, you know, it's not ladylike or it makes me uncomfortable. Do you then just tell them to just get over it? I mean, look.
Get over it, girls.
Just get over it. Because that really desperate works times, always. Desperate measures. Because if you, for every day you don't do this is one day lost. And there are only going to be so many days in your life, okay? And you might as well make those days happy, comfortable, secure, worthwhile. And for every day that you don't want to go there, is one day less that you have to get your house in order. That's the way I see it.
Oh, yeah, darling, look, that's great. And that sounds wonderful. And yes,
so girls, what is the problem then?
You know, it's like, you know, you're fat and you eat too much sugar and too many cakes and you look like a balloon. And then someone says, well, go to the gym. And you go, yeah, yeah, yeah. And you go to the gym and you sign up. And then after a week, you know, you're just not doing it.
But that's the internal drive that I want to get at. You know, what is it that
it's about shifting? It's shifting the level of importance. Look, let's take an overweight person, okay? You know, they can go, they know they shouldn't be eating cakes and lollies and whatever it is that's putting on weight for them. They know they should be out walking every day. They know, it's like a cigarette smoker. They know they shouldn't be smoking, right? They know what they need to do. So I can tell most women, you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to do whatever, right? A financial advisor will tell you what to do. The bottom line is that until that person who is overweight has a heart attack or gets cancer or something, the importance of getting thin and getting healthy doesn't really have that much impact on them. They know they should do it. They know it's important.
So what about the women who become suddenly divorced and, you know,
then it's suddenly like, oh wow, I better wake up to myself here and you know, change the and it's taken divorce, or in the case of an obese person, you know, cancer or heart attack or whatever it is, to actually give them the shift that they need. I mean, we know, I like to analogize it like a fish. We kind of get whacked over the head with a sardine by the universe saying, hey, Laura, you need to do something about your finances here. And you go, yeah. And then it sort of a little, you know, becomes like a sardine or something. And then the next minute it's a tuna, and eventually it's a bloody great marlin that comes around, whacks you over the head and said, Laura, you got to do something about it. And for most women, until you know, the marlin hits them over the head, in other words, a cancer or a divorce or something radical, they don't actually put it in level of importance. So it really is about raising the level of importance that your financial situation and money and all that money can bring you is you know, make that really important. And for most women, that's the difference. You know, the neighbor comes in and says, oh, can I have something, you know, and you're giving. Your children says, oh, mum, can I borrow $1,000 or $100 or whatever the case may be? And you go, yes, darling. It's about learning to say no. It's about learning to say no to other people. I used to go to dinner parties, and people had come to my house and I said, oh, no, don't bring anything. I'll provide, right? You know, being the benevolent one. And then I'd even go to their house and I'd bring the food. And I'm thinking, no, what's wrong with this picture? So for me, it was very much about wanting to be a giver, wanting to do that sort of thing. And it wasn't until I started to say, no, my finances are running low. I'm in trouble here financially. And believe me, girls, I got into big, big trouble. So I do not preach from the couch here. I very, very nearly went bankrupt, and I ate the equity up in my home and all this sort of stuff. We won't go there right now, but I'm just talking because I know, and I understand what it feels like. And it wasn't until I said, no, yes, please bring a bottle of wine, or yes, please, why don't you bring the dessert or something, and stopped doing it myself, that my consciousness changed. And once I started to put myself first, and for many women that's a really hard thing to do, to put themselves first. But if we don't start putting ourselves first, if we don't start looking at our money and going, well, and money, as I said, is simply a form of exchange of energy. So it really is about putting yourself first in many things and saying no and being able to say no. And that's where I think for most women, because of our basic DNA as nurturers and wanting to be all things to all people, that we run into trouble.
Do you think also there is a bit of people, what will they say about me if I put myself first, and they are afraid of that criticism?
Absolutely, absolutely.
So how would you get over that?
Well, again, you start to put more value on yourself and your time and your effort and energy. I call it your wattage, okay? So what it is you're giving out. And when, let's say we're all born with a certain amount of wattage, And as you, when you're young, you just give out that wattage all the time. You know, boom, boom, you see children running around. And then as you get in your teens, you start to, you know, go out and get crazy and get drunk. And all your wattage goes out all the time. Even in your 20s, you try this job, you try that job. It's all there, you know, you're constantly out there using up your wattage. As you start to get older, you start to think, you know, you start to realize that you don't have that vim and vitality as much as you did in your 20s. You don't want to risk things as well as much as you did in your 20s. So you start to be a little bit more careful of your wattage. And I really invite women to start looking at what they're doing to use up their wattage. Is that a good analogy?
Basically, it's your life's your life force that
yes.
you are spending. If you're going to spend it wisely yes. and spend it such that you actually get a decent return on it.
Absolutely. It's the law of exchange. You have to have when you give something, you need to receive something in exchange, and that's just the law of life, really.
Okay, what do you say to people who say that, you know, I give generously, I don't expect anything in return, and it's almost like a sanctimonious self-righteousness in there, like, you know, it's below me to expect something back. I hear it from people all the time, even though they don't know it, as in they don't realize that this is the message they're putting out there, as though it is not nice to expect yeah. something back.
And that's the issue that we need to resolve. That's the thing that I help women to get over, because a lot of that comes from childhood. That's patterns of behavior that have been set up in your family and the way your mother was.
That's what I said. You have to get over it.
Tell them to get over it. You need to go in and have a look at what's really going on. What sort of behavioral patterns have they picked up from their parents? Why is it that they feel the need to do that? There's so much more involved in that.
Yes.
You know, it's self-esteem issues. Yes. It's a lot of background. I mean, you know, the workshop is only 2 days. I usually coach people, you know, for well and truly up to, you know, year-long program, because some of this stuff is so deeply ingrained in them. And even when we put a lot of the things that I practice and that I tell them to do, or I don't like to tell anyone, but I share with them or encourage them to do, you know, they go home and I say to them, you know, a couple of weeks later when I'm back in touch, I say, well, how did you go with that? Oh, well, I haven't done that yet. And it is about then of making a commitment to change. And if you value something really highly enough, you will make that commitment to change, because it becomes really important to you. So again, I keep stressing, it's about getting the value of money higher up on your list of importance. And until you do that, and until you start to say no and suffer the consequences of saying no, and that's difficult for many women to turn around to their children and say, look, I'm sorry, that's not where I choose to spend my money this month. We also have to watch our wording, or not, I can't afford it. That's not how I budgeted my money. And let them know that you're not there just as a
ATM.
An ATM, exactly.
Okay, so that's an interesting point you touched on about the vocabulary, and I'm a real fan of being very mindful of the words that come out, and the fact that you say, you know, don't have words like I can't afford it, which says to the universe that, yeah, gee, Paul. Instead, like you say, choose not to spend money. And also for some people I notice, in their language, they say things like, that person is obscenely wealthy. You know, the word obscene is in there to be used. I don't agree with that at all. I like to say somebody is fabulously wealthy.
Yeah. It's great to be wealthy.
Or filthy rich. Yeah, that's another phrase, yeah. Which I think is pretty negative. That gives the connotation that somehow shameful, sinful, wrong to be wealthy.
And you know,
people out there, type in your versions of what you've heard that haven't been helpful, you know, like we talked about, obscenely wealthy, made a truckload of money, and that was obscene kind of thing, as opposed to that person is so blessed and so fortunate to be wealthy.
Absolutely. And girls, look, that's another thing I had to get over, giving myself permission to be wealthy. I used to think wealthy people were drug dealers or got their money through, you know, ill-begotten means. Seriously, Laurie, don't laugh. When I was looking at women who I wanted to find as my own mentors, and women who were rich, who I respected, you know, many of them had inherited money, and I think, oh, well, that's easy enough for you, or women who had, you know, got businesses that I didn't particularly agree in. But
yeah.
It's actually okay to be wealthy. In fact, it's great to be wealthy. You are far more able to do do more in the world when you can take care of yourself financially and not a burden on the economy and on yourself. You know, it's like, if you want to really, people say, oh, well, we give to charity. Look, there's nothing wrong with giving to charity, but you got to be on a firm foundation yourself in order to give to others. It's like people who come and say, oh, I'm just helping, sponsoring a child in Africa, blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, 3 months later, they have to pull the money away, or 6 months later, because they can't afford it anymore. To me, that's even worse than not having sponsored a child in the beginning, because, you know, you're sort of setting them up for something and then taking it away. You know, you've got to make sure, we've got to make sure of women, that we are on firm foundational footing ourselves, and only then can we go out into the world and do what we want to do and give of our time, you know, which to me is the most valuable asset I have. Money comes and goes, but my time is the most valuable thing that I have. That's another thing that we focus on in the workshop as well. But if I want to give of myself, my time, my effort, my energy, I need to be able to have money sorted so I'm not struggling, you know, to go to work or to do what I need to do in order to put money on the table. Only when I've got all that stuff sorted. One of the things that I'm passionate about is helping women to gain what I call financial freedom, to become financially independent. Now, that doesn't mean that we're all sitting around waiting for $1 million to fall out of the sky or to win the lottery or some old tant dies and leaves you, money. What it means is finding ways that you can support yourself and your lifestyle to such a degree that actually having to work 9 to 5 is no longer, you don't have to do that. So I right now am what I call financially independent. Admittedly, I don't have all the things that I would like in my life, but I have let go of all the other stuff so that what I earn now actually supports my lifestyle. Does that make sense? So if I choose to go out and buy myself a Ferrari tomorrow, not that I would, but anyway, then I need to earn enough money to be able to support the Ferrari comfortably. Does that make sense? So I don't go buying things anymore that I don't need, and just because, you know, that's what is expected of me. So gaining financial independence simply means that you are covering your expenses to live, so that the need to go and work really hard for someone else just to maintain all of those bills is no longer there.
All right, I've got to ask you, you use the term work hard. Now, how do these women, if you say to them, I can show you how to set up businesses, let's say, hypothetically, so that you will get passive income where you don't have to get out of bed and the money keeps rolling in, does that really jar with some of these people and their upbringing and the values?
Well, I think it's about finding, look, I love what I do. I cannot believe that I am being paid for what I do. I am passionate about what I do. I have my coaching. My coaching takes up only a very limited time of my monthly month, and then I run my workshops and I'm marketing and doing the work on that. So to be able to do what I do and earn the income that I earn, it's a gift. I mean, it's amazing. And to find something that you absolutely love. Look, let me give you an example. I had a client who, you know, she used to love all those handbags. Although, you know, she was the one buying the Kelly handbag and the this handbag. She had a husband who could support her at the time. And so she had all those latest things. They don't appeal to me, but there are women out there who love all that stuff. I don't even know what they're called, but you know the ones I mean, the Hermes and the Gucci bags, etc. So she had a closet full of them. And when her husband and she separated, she thought, well, how am I going to start to, A, fill up my day with something that I love, and B, make some money for myself? So I said to her, well, all these handbags that you have, how about you start to rent them out to your girlfriends? And so the other girlfriends in her circle were also rather status conscious. And so she started to rent her bag out. So she would go and buy the latest Kelly, whatever it was, for however many thousands of dollars, tax deduction, thank you very much, use it for a month or two herself, get the kudos that comes from having that particular status symbol, then her girlfriend will say, well, I'll have that next. So she used to rent it to her girlfriend or some other people, and she put it on. That's how Net-a-Porter and some of these websites started. And so she now rents out her handbags. And so if a girl's particularly going somewhere or going on holiday or going to Europe and wants to be seen with the latest trendy stuff, she rents it out to them. She gets money coming in. It's a very low You know, it's not a lot of work involved in, you know, exchanging a handbag and some dollars in cash. And now she's building up a very, very lucrative little business. Where, and not only that, but she still gets to buy her handbags, which she loves and adores. And she, because they're a tax deduction now because she's made this business. And she's starting on, you know, other things as well, shoes and things like that. So it's about finding something that you love and adore and are passionate about. And then thinking of a way of how can I make money from this? There are people making money from all sorts of things that they're passionate about and they don't want to give up doing. Mm-hmm. So if you can find something, just one, something that you can do that can bring in, let's say, you know, just a small amount of income every month. And that, so it gives you, so let's say you go to work for someone and you earn $100 a day. Let's just use that as an example. If you can find something that earns you $100, that's one day a month you don't actually have to go to work, okay? And then on that day that month, when you're working on this particular part of your business, you might be able to do a bit of marketing or whatever and generate it so that you earn $200 a month, and in which case that's 2 days you don't have to go to work. Does that make sense? And eventually, and then on those 2 days, so that's two long weekends a month, girls, that you can, you know, stay home and do something for yourself that you're passionate about. Then you work on it a little bit more, and then it's 3 days a month. And eventually you're only working 4 days a week. Maybe then it's 3 days a week. And eventually, hopefully, the business that you start to build and grow will eventually take over from your real income or your other income where you actually have to go and work for $100 every day, giving your blood, sweat, and tears to somebody else. That's what I talk about financial independence. That's what I try and encourage, and when I coach women, help them to try and find something that they can do to give them that little bit of money. And when you earn your own money like that, when you start to build a business and create your own money, it's really exciting. And that's what I talk about, a win. You know, someone said to me, oh, guess what? I just made my first $50, and they were selling cakes or biscuits or something. You know, the thrill of actually doing that when you've been plodding along and working for someone else and you know, not getting remunerated really properly. It's magic.
Okay, so people out on Blog TV, if you've got any comments, do type in, Skype in, because this is an interesting conversation about being able, while you're still in your job, and if that job doesn't thrill you, that you have options available to you, right?
Absolutely.
But the options, again, it could be right under your nose, or in this case, this lady in her closet, you know, a closet full of handbags. But beyond that, that's something else that I want to talk about, is the fact that you can generate all this cash, and then you've talked about put away 10%.
No, now, I didn't. I said put away a percentage of all you earn is yours to keep.
Let's say it's 10%, okay? Because I believe, too, beyond that point, your money should be working harder for you, and that you don't have to get up and do anything to get that. And that is the point where people tend to balk at. So that's the topic of passive income, because I really want you to talk about passive income, where the money still comes in, because you have been smart enough to set up a system or a business that pays you over and over again once you've done the work initially and done the hard yards, okay? And a lot of people can't get their heads around that idea that they don't have to go to work and the money still turns up in your bank account.
Oh, that's a big conversation too, Loe. I mean, you know, it's actually possible. And I think
that is the real thing.
That's the way to do it. Like, yeah. You know, a degree of what I do and of my business is passive income streams. So there are products that I produced.
Exactly right.
And that I put on and that I sell. And that I produce them once, and then I can keep selling them over and over again. That's right. Passive income. In the case, let's just, you know, plucking out of the sky here, the woman with the handbag, maybe what she does is once a season, she goes to Europe, which she loves to do, and travel, blah, 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 does what she does, and then comes back and does a video about what's hip and what's hot in Europe in the role of handbags and shoes and what women are wearing, and snap, 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 takes photographs and sells that particular product out there to whoever is interested in it.
Exactly.
That's a passive income stream for her. I know it'll cost her money to go to Europe, but she doesn't have to go to Europe. She can get it on the web and look at all the fashion shows and things on the web. But it's about trying to find a way. And again, this is about valuing your time, effort, and energy, your wattage or your life force, if you like. If you have to keep producing something over and over again, then you are keeping on giving out of your life force. I have a client of mine who's a chiropractor or a physiotherapist. And, you know, I keep saying to her that somebody comes in with an injured foot And every time she has to say, well, these are the exercises that you needed to do and da-da-da-da, make sure you flex it this way, that way. I said, for goodness sake, why don't you make a video on how to heal an injured foot with this particular injury? And then when your client comes and you've had the physiotherapy session and you're giving her the rubber band and all the bits and pieces that she needs, sell her a video, even if it's just for $5, and say, why don't you take this video home? And these are the exercises. I don't know about you, but I'm doing exercises. I like having someone to watch. So she's made videos now of how to flex your feet properly when you've got a damaged ankle. And she sells this for $5. Now, $5 to one person is not a lot of money. If I had a damaged ankle, $5 to me to get it healed and to help me do my exercises properly is nothing. But $5 over the course of a week, if she's got 10 people who come in with injured ankles, and she's got them now for shoulders and necks and backs and whatever, these funny little videos, she just stands in front of a camera and goes, okay, girls, this is what you do. And she's used my foot on occasions and used parts of my body because I'm her friend, you know, showing how things are done. And there's a passive income stream. So she still gets the money coming through the door from her clients, but she's able to make another lot of money just by selling these little videos that she has.
Okay, so people out there, does that make sense to you? The idea that you can, something that you already do and probably do for free right now, that you could turn into a means of generating income. And like Camilla says, okay, if it makes you $50 a day, okay, and your daily rate is $100 to have to go to work for an 8-hour day, I don't know, that sort of a thing, that it is actually conceivable, possible, and doable.
Absolutely, absolutely. And more, the more that you get, hang on, we just got a big black, wet black cat on the table here, sorry, Sooty. The more that you can start to think outside of the square, and this is probably where women actually don't have time to sit down and actually think these things. You know, they're so busy running around after children and working and washing and God knows what else they do. But, you know, coming to a workshop such as mine and being able to start to spend some time. When was the last time you spent 2 days on your money and started to think about some of these concepts and ideas? And what could I do? I'm about to develop an advanced money mastery workshop where we do actually get a whole lot of women in the room and start to brainstorm this stuff. And what else could we do? And how could we set this up with the tools and the technology today? As we know, you know, these sorts of things are really easy to do. Making these videos, you just use your computer, iPhoto or whatever it is, and have it all edited and cut. It's not hard. It's just a matter of making it important, making an understanding that you can't keep you can't keep ignoring the fact that, you know, that money, that you need money, really, that we all know we need money and we need to look for ways to do it now, especially as we get older, where we're not repeating ourselves and using up our energy constantly over the same thing all the time. And it's not hard. You just need someone to help you. If you're thinking about this, get yourself a coach. Get someone like myself who's good at this sort of stuff, who can mentor you and show you how to do it. It's like anything. When you're little, you learn how to cook by your mum showing you or using a recipe. It's the same thing. Don't just get stopped and go, oh, no, it's too hard, or that's not me. Just, you know, switch that thinking and go, okay, well, who can I get to help me? Look for people around you who have already done it. Go and sap their knowledge for yourself.
Okay, that's another question I want to ask you too. How many women actually, the unspoken for them is that if I become financially independent, wealthy, etc., I won't stay in my current relationship anymore, or the people I have around me will treat me differently and I might not like it. How many of them actually have that lurking in the back of their brains?
A lot of women. And again, you know, I know so many women who are in, excuse the expression, girls, but toxic relationships, absolutely toxic. It's no wonder we've got so much breast cancer in the world today. We're living with these relationships because they're trapped, Lawe. They have absolutely no way to get out. They've got kids. They don't know what to do. They've got no source of income for themselves. And I was one of those women, let me tell you. So I know what it's like to be in a relationship where you're unhappy and unsatisfied and dissatisfied and want more for yourself. yourself. So, you know, being in a relationship, if you can start to earn a little bit of money for yourself, even if it's just money that you squirrel away, put in your prosperity account, there's a sense of starting to maybe starting to see a way out. Do you know what I mean? It's a start. Being able, what was the second thing you were asking me about?
If that case, you know, the relationships with people around you will change as well. And for some people, they don't want the relationship to change, even though they want out. They don't realize, they realize on a subconscious level that the ramifications might mean that you won't see these people again, and they're not prepared to let go just yet.
Yeah, well, let me tell you, that is hard. And I know this.
It is doable.
And the thing is, girls, is that, that yes, as you start to become empowered around yourself and your money and your way of living, you will start to leave people behind. Now, I know that sounds very egotistical, but I have, since being on this journey of personal development, lost a lot of friends. And they're still my friends. We haven't had any arguments. It's just that I no longer choose to sit around the table bitching and moaning with my girlfriends about my husband or my money or whether or not the interest rates have risen. I don't want to have those conversations anymore. They bring me down. They depress me.
And disempowering.
It's disempowering. And, you know, when you talk about resonating on a certain level, they, you know, sad people basically hang around sad people, you know, because that's what they have around
they
them.
It makes them feel better. Yes.
Yeah, they feed off the sadness. I choose to be around inspiring, happy, fulfilled people. So anybody that's not that tends to kind of shy away from me anyway because I'm way too much for them, you know. My life is amazing and I attract to me other people who feel the same way about their life. We may not be on the same financial curve, but you know, I'm inspired by what I do. I love what I do. I'm happy. My kids are happy. You know, everything seems to be working well because I'm attracting other people like that into my world. So I have let go of a lot of people. And that is a big sadness for me. And one of the things that I had to come to terms with, I remember talking to my own mentor, I said, I feel very lonely now. I feel like, where is my flock? I've sort of let go of those friends because I don't choose to be around all that negativity anymore. Someone once said to me, if you want to soar with eagles, stop hanging around with pigeons, you know? And I know that my life was full of pigeons. When I was unhappy in my marriage and my, you know, the whole situation, I was attracting to me people who I could resonate all that stuff with. Now I no longer attract those people anymore. They come into my workshop and they're inspired by me and I help them to change. And that's great. But, you know, you have to be willing to let go of some of the people in our past that we actually don't connect with anymore.
Yeah, and the other thing I want to add is the fact that once you let go, you actually make room for new people to come in who are, like you say, more inspiring, more energetic, lift you to the next level. And really, you know, in hindsight, you wonder why I didn't do this earlier. I think that's a bit of that.
It's like cleaning up the clutter in your life,
yeah,
cleaning up the things that don't work for you anymore. And
if people are afraid, and because they're afraid of the unknown, right, and so they stick with what is known, even though it's crap, because you know it's going to be crap and it's predictable, okay? That's what
It's safe. It's what you know is safe.
It's not necessarily happy, but it's safe. You know when you get up, you're going to have this conversation with your partner, and you know, goes on and on and on, that doesn't work, that you've had for the past X number of years. But the fact that if you actually moved out of that particular relationship, you don't know what's going to happen the next day, and that frightens the life out of most people. I think
fear is the biggest thing for all, and you know, fear is false expectation appearing real. And someone told me that a long time ago, and I'm very blessed, Loy, in that I have courage. I have real courage, and I've been at a place where basically, you know, I was at the bottom of everything, and I thought, well, what have I got to lose? And I don't want women to get to that place because it's not a very nice place, but being at that place has taught me that I can, you know, there's nowhere else to fall. I call it reaching up from bottom. Like there was nowhere lower I could go than the banks knocking on my door saying, I lost my home, you know. Mm-hmm. So, and it's like, no, let's just see what else is out there. And it is fear. That's what keeps most people stopped. And if you can start to have little wins, so something scares you, And I'm not saying you need to go bungee jumping or something like that, but start to push yourself through your fear, even if it's just a little fear. You know, going up and talking to somebody at a party when you don't normally do that. Go up, all he can say is go away or ignore you. Well, you know, try again. So start to conquer your own fears, the little fears, and then the big fears. And I mean, going to America, I didn't know very many people in America. I'm arriving there, I'm running a workshop, I'm thinking, God, what about these people hate me and they don't understand me? They all thought it was very cute that I had all these Australianisms. Sure, I was scared. I mean, I was really scared. But, you know, I thought, well, what have I got to lose? I can just come home again. I've got a return ticket. You know, I've got all my family and friends here. What's the matter if they all hate me over there? So what? You know, I'll never see them again.
Well, as it is, they love you and they want you back.
Well, I don't know. You know, sometimes you wonder. But no, it was. It was great. And I'm very, very blessed that it did work out well. And you know, and girls, we're not Robinson Crusoe. There are women out there everywhere who share your own concerns around money. And I really encourage you to start, when you go for a coffee with your girlfriend, sit down now, instead of talking about the weather and the children and what you had for dinner last night and what movie or book you read or saw, start to talk, really share with women what's really going on for you financially, and start to you know, discuss it with your friends and really open up. I think one of the biggest things that I needed to do was to be able to share my mess and be fess up to my mess, and because it was something that was hidden for so long, that I had this persona that it was all okay when it wasn't okay, because I was too frightened to share it. I thought people would hate me.
Okay.
So get in there, have the conversations with your girlfriends, and start to really share what's going on with you honestly, so that you can start to grow.
Okay, so we're coming to the end of the show, and if anything that Camilla has said today resonates with you and you want to get in touch with Camilla, where can we find
you? www.moneymasteryforwomen.com. Moneymasteryforwomen.com. And there's a little box there. And you can just send me an email and I'll be in touch.
Okay.
My workshops at the moment are all around Australia. We'll be coming back to America eventually. I need to find a way to get in there legally. Come and work there legally.
Okay. But we won't say no. Okay. So we can get in touch with you that way. So people out there, thank you very much for watching the show. And you know, I know you've hung around, so go talk to Camilla, and she will sort you out, and she will do it in the nicest possible way, but there will be some tough love there, I'll tell you that, okay? behalf of your money and your mindset, I'd like to thank you so much, Camilla Mendoza.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you for having me.
Show again.
Thank you.
Okay. Everybody, take care. See you next week.
Bye-bye.